Don't shop at Loblaws. That's what one particular boycott says you should or should not do. I've always said, vote with your dollar. Standing outside a grocery store with signs and picketing it, I don't think does a whole lot. You just kind of get in the way. And let's be honest, in Ontario, the same person that will run you down in a parking lot will hold the door open for you to walk into the store. So I don't know if walking around a parking lot of a grocery store is really the best thing anyway with a picket sign. Now, choosing where you spend your dollars, that could be impactful if enough people show up. That's for sure. Dr. Sylvain Charlebois, he is the food professor, director of the Agri-Food Analytics Lab at Dalhousie University, joins us on the phone to chat about this and other things. Sylvain, hello.
Good afternoon, Shane.
Now, listen to the guy who's got 11 children because he has to buy groceries for all of them. it's an important
yet.
Thing.
I'm not there yet.
Not quite. So no. Nine or something. Okay, boycotting a grocery store. You and I have said many times, Sylvain, over and over again, your dollars will dictate what happens 100%. May is the proposal that's been thrown out there to avoid all Loblaws stores. Where does that land for the food guy?
Yeah, so first of all, I mean, it's great that consumers are getting organized. Boycotting should be allowed. I mean, it's up to people to decide what they want to do with their money, where they want to spend their dollars. And of course, Shane, we have to sympathize with people out there. A lot of people are angry, frustrated. They feel vulnerable. They feel unprotected. It's easy to sympathize with the Canadian public out there. However, with this particular boycott, I don't see the logic boycotting just one grocer, which controls about 29% of the market, not even a third. And because when you actually look at food prices, I mean, food prices have gone up everywhere, not just at Loblaw, everywhere. And in fact, we surveyed Canadians, I believe it was 2 months ago, asking Canadians which banner you see as the best discounter. And Loblaw came number one. And number two was Walmart, three Costco, four Metro, and fifth was Giant Tiger. So I'm having a hard time seeing the logic here.
So that perspective, I know that we've chatted before, is that a lot of these, the way that a lot of these stores make money is not necessarily groceries. It's kind of like movie theaters. Movie theaters show movies, so you buy food and treats, right? They make their money on the food and the treats. In the grocery stores, that's why you're seeing clothing in some of them. That's why you're seeing cosmetics departments, all these high margin items where they can make money and bring you into the store and have you not have to go anywhere else. The reality was Walmart brought in groceries, so grocery stores had to start bringing in household items. Real estate, building the grocery stores, and in a lot of cases, owning the land, becomes where the profits sort of sit. It's kind of hidden in there, at least in value. But we don't pay attention to that part. We pay attention only to the cost of our steak.
Absolutely. With Loblaw, you clearly see that the company itself is highly diversified, as you just mentioned, in real estate. They actually offer financial services. Loblaw has a bank, and Loblaw also has another bank called Shoppers Drug Mart, where they sell perfume, cosmetics, prescription drugs, and they make a lot of money selling all of these things all at once, which actually makes the company profitable. So you have to be careful with how you actually analyze the data. When it comes to food sales, really, Loblaw doesn't make a whole lot of money with food specifically. I mean, when you think about boycotts, again, you have to look at what's the purpose here? What is the goal here? And I don't believe that Loblaw is blameless here. They are part of a much larger problem affecting the entire grocery industry. So I do see the boycott here as a missed opportunity to inform the Canadian public in terms of what are the actual issues impacting the grocery sector.
Is maybe a boycott and a failure of a boycott maybe the kind of message that people need to hear in order to say, well, maybe there's more to be learned here? And I have an idea that I'll ask you about next about what could be learned here. So is a boycott maybe? I mean, you and I would both say absolutely vote with your dollar.
Absolutely. Listen, if boycotters would call me and ask me for my advice, for a proper, logical, coherent boycott. I'm not supportive of any. I don't boycott any company, to be honest. I just don't spend my money there. I don't encourage other people to not spend money at certain places. But let's say that people calling me, asking me for my advice, and if they're keen in pursuing a boycott, I would say this. I would say, listen, boycott all big box stores and focus on independent grocers. And in particular in Toronto, like in Toronto, you got tons of independent grocers that don't get the attention they deserve. So that could actually be an opportunity for people to understand what an independent grocer is. And also, it could actually force big box grocers to look at their supply chain and see how they're treating suppliers. Because to me, Shane, that's really what the problem is. Loblaw is not gouging consumers, no. They're actually gouging suppliers. So right now, consumers are spending less. All of us were spending less. So they turn around and negotiate new prices, putting more pressure on manufacturing. And in Ontario, especially in South Ontario, we got lots of companies feeling the heat, feeling the impact of a much more frugal marketplace right now.
So just for the record, your independent grocery is a Loblaws store. That's not what you're talking about. That's worth noting, too, when you talk about independent grocers. Now, my question, you just kind of led it there by accident, was the wholesale end of this is run by, in large ways, large companies like Empire and Loblaws, Jim Pattison and more, right? So, like, you do have the same company that's controlling the flow to everybody else anyway, so it's not the retail end of it, but is wholesaling, or the at least the diversification of wholesaling, the problem?
That's right. So when people are telling me that companies like grocers are gouging consumers or profiteering on the backs of consumers, I do ask them, where's the data? Because when you actually look at financial reports, and of course, Loblaw is reporting on Wednesday, May the 1st. I'm not sure if you knew that, Shane, but it's just a coincidence.
No, didn't know that.
The boycott is actually going to be starting the day that Loblaw is reporting on its quarterly results. And I can tell you right away, the top line may actually be affected because everyone's top line is being impacted by a much more frugal marketplace. But Loblaw will actually make a profit, and margins won't be impacted because of that pressure point. So distribution is the key. Distribution is a problem. Walmart and Loblaws, in my view, would need to be addressed. So I guess you create a level playing field with grocers and suppliers as well. And that's the only way to do it is to implement a code of conduct in Canada.
Now, there's a couple of stores that say that they're not going to get on that. Is that going to be a problem?
Well, I mean, the bottom line is that, I mean, are Canadians well served by the industry that we have? And when you look at margins, when you look at prices in general, things are pretty decent in our country. I mean, right now, a typical Canadian is spending about 9.3% of his or her disposable income on food, which is the sixth lowest percentage in the world. In the world, the number one country is the United States at 6.1%. But at 9.3%, we're not spending a huge amount of money on food. The big problem, Shane, is the cost of living. People have mortgages, debt, and those are the things that are hurting people. So when they show up at the grocery store, they have less money and they feel frustrated.
Yeah, and that's the scary part. Feeling hungry is scary, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And that's an important thing. Okay, well, here's plant a seed. See what I did there for farmers? For the next one is that the part of the conversation I think we need to talk about, Sylvain, is that it is cheaper to get tomatoes from Mexico than it is like fruit from Ontario. And it's cheaper to get fruit from other countries than it is from our own province. And that becomes a problem and is a much larger piece that is not the grocers. And we should probably talk about that part too coming up sometime soon.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. So it's, I mean, what's underappreciated by boycotters, I guess, is that the food industry is a complicated thing. It's really complicated. Food doesn't show up at the grocery store. Lots of people work in fields, in plants, driving trucks everywhere to make things happen. And so a lot of factors can actually make food more expensive or less expensive. And by the way, that's the other thing I would tell boycotters. You're about 2 or 3 months too late, because right now food inflation is below 2%, and food inflation has continued to drop. And right now, Shane, when we look at some of the data that we have, some food products are actually cheaper than last year. So how do you mobilize, how do you get people excited about a boycott when things are actually improving?
Yeah. Well, Food Professor Podcast is a great thing to follow and be a part of. You can catch Sylvain Charlebois there if you like the conversation, and stick around here because I talk him into coming in all the time. So thanks for being here. Appreciate it, bud.
Take care, Shane. Bye-bye.
Awesome. Sylvain Charlebois is the director of the Agri-Foods Lab and professor at Dalhousie University, the food professor, if you want to give him a Google. If you want to vote with your dollar, vote with your dollar. Do it. But will the boycott work? I don't know. Does the grocery code of conduct make things better? Maybe. But maybe the problem's not there. Maybe it's just a really great scapegoat. All I know is it is expensive, and it is very scary when you're sitting at home wondering if you're going to have enough food for those kids. That one matters.